would, be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. It's good to fellowship with everybody, to be in the body of Christ, whether in person or online, and we appreciate everyone that's here with us in whatever capacity. It's always great. It's always great to be in the house of the Lord. It's always great to be around the Lord's people, especially with all this weather going on. You know, we wondered if we were going to have church tonight with all the ice and the storms. And tomorrow, it's supposed to come again, maybe later tonight. We're just supposed to get more weather. And we'll... Was it? There you go. We got more on the way. Now, I don't claim to be a meteorologist, because I'm usually right. But we're going to get some more snow, it looks like. I'll make fun of the weathermen and stuff, but I tell you what, that's a hard job, because we can't bend nature to our will, right? Nature's going to do what God wants it to do, and we can't bend it to our will. So I think the weathermen are brave to get up there and voice an opinion about what they think is going to happen. So we're going to look at Matthew 8 and begin reading at verse 24. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather together tonight and we vow before your throne of grace to worship you and praise you and to give you all the glory. And Lord, I'm reminded of a song that says you're a good, good Father, but that's way short of what you actually are, Father. You're the creator of the universe, and you hold all of us in your hands, and we thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for you to hide me behind the cross and have your message pour forth. Lord, I pray for that lost person that they come to understand how much it's you that they need. Lord, I pray thy will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got so scared of the snow, I took off 3 days of work. Well, mainly because I'm lazy, but I'm scared of the snow, too. But, you know, we have to have faith that God will see us through these things. And that's one of the most important lessons of this piece of Scripture right here, is having faith. Jesus tells them, "O ye of little faith, why are you fearful?" This would be a good sermon, wouldn't it? I've got something else in plan. In mind. But we need to keep that in mind, that the Lord we need to have faith in. So here's some things I saw that we can get from this scripture. We can always call on him. He was asleep in the bowels of the ship, and they weren't afraid, his disciples weren't afraid to go call on him for him to take care of this. Jesus calms the storms in our lives. We're going to suffer the storms, but Jesus can calm them. He will be with us if we'll let him. If we'll let Jesus, he will calm the storms in our lives. We must have faith, and we must increase it. Jesus asked them, "Where is thy faith?" Saying we must have that faith. We must have that faith in him. And it also says to me that we have to increase that faith, because he says, "Ye of little faith." Little faith means that's not enough. You need to have big faith. Well, I want that big faith. That's how we get through to God. That's how we get through things, knowing we can have faith in him. That's where the big faith is knowing whatever our circumstance, there God is. And finally, one of the things I see is we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Those men were all in the same boat. a horrendous storm, the winds and the seas, the waves breaking over the boat, and they were in fear for their life. And so they went to Jesus, who's in the same boat with them. But he's not fearful. And he calms the storm. He calms the winds. He says, "Peace, be still." I remember one time I had to do a devotional for school, and it just wasn't, I wouldn't get anywhere. And so I just sit back on the couch and close my eyes, and I said, "Peace, be still." Then I realized that wasn't me talking to me, that was somebody else talking to me. And that's what the devotional ended up being on, was "Peace, be still." So here we see we're all in the same boat. And there's several illustrations in the Bible about being on the same boat. You know, Jonah, he's destined to be thrown overboard in his attempt to flee God. Paul is refusing to flee his destiny by getting on a boat and going to Rome. He knows what's going to happen there, but that's what God expects of him. Noah and his family, avoiding the destiny of all humankind by being on that ark. These people are all in the same boat. Unfortunately, for those people in Noah's time, they weren't on that boat. Noah and his family started a new generation, started a new people on earth. If we can even think about Moses floating to his destiny on that little ark of his. There's a picture in that for all of us. We're all on that same boat. Moses, he was by himself, wasn't he? No. God was with him. Because he floated to his destiny. Princess saved him. He grew up in privilege. Put that behind him. Stayed with his people. Why? Because he didn't want to enjoy sin for a season. He wanted to live for eternity in the house of God. That's what we have to look forward to because we're all in the same boat. For a little bit, I want to compare the story of Jonah and the disciples on that ship. So I'll read from Jonah 1, verses 4 through 6, if you want to turn there. But we're familiar with this too. Jonah 1, verses 4 through 6 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.'" There's a little more to that story, but do you see the similarity there? Here are these sailors, these disciples, are on a ship. There's a great storm. They go to the man of God to take care of that. Jesus, of course, he just calmed the wind. Jonah didn't have that power. They go on and they ask Jonah, you know, "What's your story?" And he tells them that he is a man of God who fears God, and he's been called to go to a people and tell them to straighten out, to begin fearing the Lord. And because of this, the Lord has caused a great storm to cause on that ship. So what did they end up doing? They threw Jonah overboard. And what did that do? It calmed the waves, calmed the winds. Those mariners, those sailors, continued on their journey. And Jonah ended up being fish food. And learning his lesson. And God does that to us, right? He teaches us our lesson. If we're brave enough to admit it, brave enough to see it, wise enough to understand that that's God rebuking us, that that's God kicking us to show us a better way. That God has to get our attention. My dad always loved to tell a story of when he was in the fourth grade, this old Guernsey cow used to chase him across the field when he got home. And he said he'd jump a fence that was twice his height to get away from that cow. One day, Granddaddy saw him doing that. Saw that Guernsey cow chasing my dad. He grabbed a two-by-four and broke it over her head, put her on her knees, and She never chased Dad again. Dad could stroll through that pasture from then on, get into the house, and he didn't have any problems because Granddaddy got that cow's attention. Same way that God got Jonah's attention. Same way that I'm about 100% sure that God gets each and every one of ours attention. He will allow things to happen to us so that we turn to Him. I've got people who tell me they've had a bad day at work, the manager's been on to them, and it's just so good to get home and drink a beer and relax. And I tell them, you know, God doesn't want you to turn to that beer. God doesn't want you to turn to those drugs. God doesn't want you to turn to the television. God wants you to turn to Him. Whatever we're going through, whatever life throws at us, we're all in the same boat. God wants us to turn to Him. And we don't turn to Him, bad things happen. Bad things are allowed to happen. We suffer when we shouldn't have to suffer. So we're all in the same boat in that we're all living on this earth. And it's a boat in reality, surrounded by a substance that we can't live in, that we can't breathe in. We have to go to extreme measures to be able to go through what is surrounding us. You have space, you have a vacuum surrounding the earth. We can't breathe a vacuum. You have water surrounding a boat. We can't breathe the water unless we have special equipment. So we can look at the earth as this big boat, right? And we're all in the same boat. And what is that? We're all afloat on a sea of sin. We're all in the same boat because we are at the mercy of sin. I'm not saying there's any mercy in sin. But if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have a Savior, we are at the mercy of sin because sin condemns us to death. We don't want that. We want to be with Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus came to this boat to be our life preserver. If Jesus is not your life preserver, you're going to drown in that sea of sin. There's no other way to say it. That's exactly what happens. Brother Steve was preaching that Jesus is the only way. The whole Bible preaches that Jesus is the only way, and there's nothing besides Jesus that will save you. Now, when I was first studying this thing about boats and we're all in the same boat, I was thinking that Jesus is our lifeboat. I've already said He's our life preserver, but is He our lifeboat? Is that what we turn to? In a way, yes, but I'll tell you what I've learned that the lifeboat is. It's His church. It's that church down the street. The church is the lifeboat. The church is the one that takes the message. The church is the one that Jesus told to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Right? It's the church who is the lifeboat, who is adrift on this sea of sin, or docked on this sea of sin, however you want to see that church, but we're bringing people along aboard the lifeboat. And in a lifeboat situation, you don't come along somebody treading water and ask them if they're rich or they're poor or if they're pretty or they're ugly or they're pretty ugly or what they are. You grab those people out of the water and you sit them in that boat with you and you get them dried off and you get them food and you get them settled. And that's what the church ought to be doing. We ought to be out here grabbing people out of that sea of sin, drying them off, and making sure they're doing okay. Because this is the only chance they have. If we're not out there rescuing sinners from that sea of sin, we're not doing our job. So what does that make Jesus then? He's much more than a life preserver. He is our Savior who is coming to gather all these lifeboats together and take them to safety. Isn't that the purpose of a lifeboat? When the ship's going down, all the people get on those lifeboats, and that can take them to safety. You know, boats have some special rules. You can't just load a boat any way you want to. You have to have the cargo spread out, the passengers spread out. Whatever you have on that boat, it has to be a certain way. And that's the way I like to think churches need to be, too. There's some order, some rules to churching, just as there is to boating. Now, I'm not going to get into those rules because there's only one main rule, and that's to keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus Christ is the answer. You can have little squabbles about all this other stuff that goes on that we squabble about, but the thing is, Jesus is our Savior. We need to trust Him. If we want to be in that lifeboat, to be preserved, to be taken to safety, which is eternity with the Father in glory, then we have to be with Jesus. You don't have to be in church to come to Jesus. You can kneel down in a field, by railroad tracks, on your couch at home, and talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Say, yes, Jesus, I repent. I agree with you. I'm doing wrong. I need you in my life. And that's when you come out of that lifeboat and you come alongside Christ and you become one with God. Because there's coming a day on that great and terrible day of the Lord when the world's going to end. God's going to judge all people. And those who aren't saved are going to a bad place. Those who are saved are going to become one with God. They're going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that give you such an uplifting feeling to know that you are a joint heir with Christ and you are going to share in whatever Christ receives as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? How brilliant is that? How uplifting is that? I hope that uplifts each and every one of you here tonight. Those that are watching online, we want you to be lifted up. We need to exalt each other. And the way we exalt each other is to love each other and take care of each other and see that we all have our needs met. And the most important need is the gospel. That's the most important need. All the people on this boat need that gospel. And we need to preach that gospel. I was kind of reading up on lifeboats and boats and lifeboat rules, maybe. Never actually found any lifeboat rules. But, you know, one thing that lifeboats do is they're provisioned. They have a compass on them. They have water. They have some rations. And, you know, you can't get on that lifeboat and set to sea and just eat up all those rations at one time. That's why they're called rations, because they need to be rationed out. So as important as lifeboats are, most crew and passenger on ships, they really don't want to ever have to use one. That goes without saying, right? But they are a necessary last resort. And many, many people are certainly glad that that lifeboat was there. That's the way we need to be. Not the church as a last resort. It is. You understand that the church is the last resort. If you're if you don't believe in the church, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then there's no other way. But we're grateful that Jesus provided this lifeboat. We should be grateful that Jesus provided this lifeboat, provided a way for His gospel to be spread, for us to have a part in repairing a great calamity that we did in the Garden of Eden. You know, we did all this to ourselves. The world is a much worse place than it was before we introduced sin and death to the world. God, in our free will, allows us to help fix that. We can't die and become a Savior. We can't do the things that God does. We can't do the things that Jesus does. But we certainly can live as a Christian and let people see the Bible. You know, I know it's been said many times that we are the only people that, the only Bible that people may read. So, why are we acting like we're not Christians? I know I do. I don't want to accuse anybody else, but I dare say that there are others that 24 hours a day that you don't act like a Christian and you let people see your human side. And they say, well, if you're going to act that way, why do I need your Christ? Well, you don't need your Christ, my Christ, to act the way I do. You need my Christ because you're doomed for an eternity of torment if you don't have Jesus in your life. And that's where I'll draw to a close, is knowing that we need Jesus. We need to act like Jesus. We need to do what God asked us to do. That's the big thing about what would Jesus do. He did what God asked him to do. We need to do what God asked us to do. And if we can't do that, we pray harder to God, because we can do it with God's help. We can do anything, anything that He desires us to do. And we know that what that is. Please rise and we'll have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation here in a moment. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for You. We're so thankful to be Your children. We're so thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we ponder this message tonight about all being in the same boat, it helps us to realize that God is no respecter of persons. And really, on the inside, we are all the same person. We can have love and fellowship for our fellow man, no matter what their circumstances. You did, and we can learn to do that also. Father, I just pray that You fill us with Your Spirit as we leave here tonight, that we're full of Your knowledge and wisdom to help do Your work and help do Your will. Lord, I pray Thy will be done in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.